Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Now, a protest is going to take place outside the Dáil later this evening at around 6 o'clock, and it's in solidarity with Natasha O'Brien, who was viciously assaulted by an Irish soldier in Limerick. And last week, he, Cathal Crotty, was handed a three-year suspended sentence at Limerick Circuit Criminal Court. Now, I met Natasha here in the hotel last night. We had a long conversation and a chat. She sat down with me, and I began by asking her, first of all, how she was doing.
Thanks, Andrea, for having me. Thanks for coming down. Yeah, I'm up the walls, but it's good. It's good. It's all good things. It's, you know, it's I'm talking, and if I can touch one more person with my story every time I talk, I will keep talking and talking and talking.
It's, you know, it's hard to believe, I'm sure, for you. It's almost a week since the verdict on Thursday. I spoke to you first on the show here in Lunchtime Live on Friday, and an awful lot has happened, you know, for you in less than a week.
A lot. And it's good, but it's also not enough yet. And, you know, the fear for me is that I get this national outrage and then it slowly fades away until the next thing happens. And it's like, I just need to grab this opportunity, Andrea, and I just need to push it out there that We don't need to wait for the next bad thing. We don't need to wait for the next person to be kicked to death or whatever. We don't need the next sad story. We can fix it all now. And, you know, I'm just going to keep on pushing and pushing, and I ain't going to stop until it's done.
Yeah. You're very determined, though, and I really get that sense from you. You know, even talking to you on the show on Friday and you know, in meeting you in person here at the hotel this evening, you're very determined.
Oh, I'm so determined. I mean, I've taken the pain, I've taken the anger, and I've taken the trauma that I've suffered at the hands of the courts and the defence forces and the justice system. Because what happened to me on a singular level is not, it's so behind me. I know it's still going to affect me what happened to me as an individual, that attack, but that's not the issue. I don't think we need to waste our anger and energy on that individual. I don't think there's any point, because we need this energy to direct it at the people that can actually change these matters. And that is Minister for Justice, Defence Forces, Taoiseach. You know, these are the people that need the pressure.
Yeah. What do you mean by change, I suppose? Like, ultimately, what would you like to see change since you've really started? You know, the public campaign, I suppose, that has grown in the past few days.
Yeah, so I think I'll just go back to the emotions that I felt walking out of that courthouse. I was just utterly appalled, utterly horrified. I mean, until it happens to you, you read the headlines, but you don't understand how horrible it is, how absolutely appalling it is, and how traumatic it is. And I really feel like I've been victimized all over again, and even to a... It's to a deeper degree, it's to a deeper level, because these are the people that are supposed to protect me. These are the people that are, you know, supposed to put me at ease, supposed to make me feel safe. And they've made me feel like, wow, our country is not safe at all. And, you know, I've channeled that fear, I've channeled that anger, I've channeled that rage. And, you know, this is what's giving me this energy now to push the need for change, the need for new, the need for more sensitivity in the judiciary system, the need for Helen McEntee, our Minister for Justice, to actually address these issues in a serious degree, and not just wish me her best and tell me I'm great for speaking out. And Helen McEntee, I would not need to speak out if you were doing your job correctly in the first place. When is it going to stop?
So was it, it's minimum sentencing guidelines, is that what you're talking about?
Absolutely. And if you are in a position of power, if you are in a position of where your duty is to safeguard and to protect, and the Irish Defence Forces, the Naval, all of these services, they're there. They wouldn't have a job if they didn't have us, the citizens of Ireland. If you were dealing with your personnel correctly in the first place, they wouldn't feel the need to be violent towards civilians.
Are you surprised, or, you know, to the reaction, I suppose, since you spoke outside the court last Thursday, and I know we spoke on Friday, and you've spoken many other shows since as well, Natasha, but by the public and the national outcry, you know, since you spoke outside the courts, are you surprised by the reaction on a personal level?
On a personal level, oh my goodness, I'm overwhelmed. I mean, I could never, ever have imagined that so many people would relate to me. I mean, that's not something you want to imagine. You don't want to, like, when something like that happens to you, you would hope that nobody else could understand. So it's amazing to have the support, but it's really, really disheartening that there is that need for support. Like, you know, so many people have been at the hands of experiences just like myself, and I fear that if I don't keep going and keep pushing and keep screaming and shouting, and it's not going to change. And yeah, I think this just needs to be the last seriously horrific headline we all read.
How did you feel when you heard about the protest that was taking place in Limerick over the weekend? Like, how did you feel when you heard that was happening?
I couldn't believe it. I really couldn't. It was completely surreal, and I'm overcome with gratitude for everybody that attended every protest all over Ireland. Like, it's incredible that I am able to resonate with so many. And it's amazing that so many people have come forward and spoken to me and said that, you know, you're saying the things that I was never able to say. You are saying the things that I've always thought. You are speaking for me. You're speaking for them, you're speaking for us. And it's men, it's women, it's everyone. It's not just gender-based violence, Andrea. It's violence in general. It's our society. We all deserve a civil society. That's the minimum we deserve.
Yeah. The protests that took place in wasn't just in Limerick, we should say. I mean, there were thousands that took to the streets in Dublin. There were protests in other parts of the country. Like, this is all off the back, I suppose, of you courageously speaking outside of the court on Thursday following that verdict. It's not the last of the protests. You're travelling to Dublin. There's going to be a protest outside the Dáil.
Tomorrow at 6 p.m.
Tomorrow evening, yeah, at 6 p.m. Further protests on Wednesday?
Limerick at 1 p.m. Yeah. On Mulgrave Street outside the courthouse. And then I'm in Cork at 6 p.m. again on Thursday or is it 4 p.m? I'll have to double check.
6 p.m. I think on Thursday.
Okay, 6 p.m.
Yeah,
on
outside
Thursday,
the courthouse.
Outside the courthouse in Cork. Yeah. So yeah, Dáil and Limerick and Cork courthouse.
Just to the Dáil protest that's happening outside Dáil Éireann at 6 p.m, what's your message to those that are inside Dáil Éireann and inside the houses of power? The people who are, you know, able to write the legislation and make change.
It's this simple, Andrea. Do your job and stop forcing us to speak up for you and tell you to do your job. You have been elected. You are in the position to make this change. We shouldn't be expected to be looking out for each other. You should be doing it. It's your job. It's your duty. So do it. It's that simple.
Do you want to see politicians at that protest outside the Dáil?
It would be nice to see some solidarity. Absolutely. Yeah, it would be nice to see that it's not just, and it would be nice to see that there are politicians that also agree with us and agree with the broken system. It would be nice. Yeah. Absolutely.
So
yeah.
you wouldn't mind if politicians
mind,
were
no,
there.
Absolutely not.
Okay. The protest that's happening in Limerick on Wednesday at lunchtime, my understanding is that is to coincide with the retirement Judge Tom O'Donnell, who of course is the judge who handed down the fully suspended sentence to your attacker. Mm-hmm. He retires on Wednesday. Totally unrelated and not connected. It just happens that his retirement date is this Wednesday.
Yeah.
And I understand that protest is to coincide with that retirement.
Yeah, so last Wednesday, when I sat into that courthouse, anticipating, you know, the hearing and the sentencing of my attacker, I think Judge O'Donnell mentioned once or twice that, you know, this is my last week, blah, blah, blah. Didn't really pay attention too much, but I was a witness to a case that has also been reported of a young Tipperary man, a 19-year-old, beating a homeless man, a vulnerable, unprovoked homeless man in Limerick City 119 times, and he walked with a fully suspended sentence. And that was maybe 1 hour before my attacker's sentencing. So, I mean, I knew exactly what was going to happen after hearing that heinous crime. You know, I knew exactly. I wasn't at all shocked. I was horrified, but I wasn't shocked. Yeah.
What's your message to the judiciary now and other judges, I suppose, in the aftermath of what's happened to you?
I think we need to really address the issues with this system. I know the law is black and white, but victims are humans. There needs to be some sensitivity training. I understand that the judges are, they need to take the law into consideration. However, the way they deliver and the condescending and just the disrespect, they how they speak to victims. I mean, when I was sitting in that witness box after having read my victim impact statement, after having begged Judge Tom O'Donnell for justice to prevent future violence, I said I'm not here to seek justice for me, I'm here to seek justice for all, you know, because this is these violent crimes, they cannot continue. And to look at me and say, Miss O'Brien, are you aware of how fortunate you are that your attacker took such a promptly guilty plea? It's just truly disgraceful to be told I'm fortunate that my attacker was caught and said oh yeah, I did it. Like, what part of that is fortunate? I would be fortunate if it didn't happen. So don't tell me I'm fortunate because I'm sitting here bearing my soul about the ins and outs of the trauma that has had on me, and tell me I'm fortunate.
Because this was obviously, you know, never on the agenda, Natasha, for you when you came out of court last week. I'm sure you never thought before going into court, you know, a week ago, that a week on, you were, you know, going to be the very public face of what is now a national campaign.
And it needs to be. And it needs to be something that gains and gains momentum, not slowly simmers. I have a video of the aftermath of the attack of the passerby that ran down to pull him off me. And in the video, there's a little altercation with my attacker and the passerby who helped. And they're just having a little altercation while I'm on the ground. But I'm going to release that in a couple of days. So, you know, I want to keep people angry, because if I cannot keep people angry, we're not going to change. If people forget, they're just going to get angry about the next situation. And I don't want there to be another one. I don't want anyone to go through what happened to me.
Is it hard to be the face of a movement like this, of a national movement?
I have always been a person that has always spoken for myself. I think on that night of my attack, I saw something wrong. I saw a young man being verbally abused with homophobic slurs, and I knew that wasn't okay. And I did not want him to be the victim of any type of crime. And I just said, hey guys, do you mind not calling someone out? And it was super polite, it was super nonchalant, and I then got the brunt of that violence. And you know, that's okay, because I'm someone that will stand up for those, for when I see something wrong, I'm going to call it. And yeah, I'm after getting a platform for calling out what's wrong, but you know, I have no problem. Yeah. I have no problem telling people what is wrong and what is right.
What you did was, you know, incredibly brave, Natasha. And I know a lot of people anecdotally at home are, you know, thinking and talking in their friend groups about what they would have done if in your position on that night in question. Would you do it again?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I remember my mom was talking to me, I think, a couple of days later about how she'd spoken with a guard about it. And they were just saying, this happens all the time. We see assault after assault. And the best thing and the safest thing for you to do is to keep your head down and to mind your own business. But I don't want a society where we have to do that. I don't want to walk around where we all have to keep our heads down in fear and don't. That's not, if the judicial system worked, if the justice system worked, we would all know we're in a society that's safe because the criminals are being dealt with, but they're not.
So, and the person that you mentioned that intervened in when you were attacked and were unconscious on the ground, have you ever met that person since?
I haven't. He was myself and my friend Sean. I would love to meet him, just not even to expose him, but just to thank him, because I don't think we ever received the opportunity. But he was in Limerick on a weekend out. He's from Dublin. He said he actually drove down one day to give the statement. So that was phenomenal, you know, that there are so many good men in this world as well. You know,
he's
there really are.
The person that stepped in to your aid on that night.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned just to you there being the face of what is now a national movement. I wasn't at Pearl Jam and Marley Park over the weekend, but I'm sure you've heard that. Yeah, Eddie Vedder actually talked about it and mentioned your case. Like, how does that make you feel?
Well, you know, we've all rallied together. We all know this isn't okay. And he was in his hotel room and he heard all this ruckus and he wanted to know what it was about and he found out. And yeah, so it's amazing. But it's also this massive superstar that is comes from the other side of the globe is speaking out about this when our Minister for Justice is staying quiet.
Like, have you had any communication with the Justice Minister?
I haven't. No. I've watched an interview. I've heard her speak, but she's not really addressing the issue. She's deflecting the blame onto the DPP. When asked about my case, she said, "Well, it's merely a matter of the DPP for them to process an appeal." And it's not, because if she's the Minister for Justice, I would assume she would understand the law, and I would assume that she might be of the understanding that the sentence that my attacker received was not unduly lenient. So I think she is very much deflecting. It's nothing got to do with the DPP. It's much bigger than the DPP. It's really her job.
Finally, Natasha. I know when we spoke to you on Friday, you mentioned the fact that, as you said, that, you know, the sentence, despite the public outcry, it wouldn't maybe in many other people's eyes in the legal world be seen as unduly lenient that your attacker received. But have you heard from your own legal team? Is there likely to be an appeal from the Director of Public Prosecutions?
I mean, we did have a debrief after the sentencing itself. We had a little debrief and they just explained to me that, look, do you know, this is good. A conviction is good. Sometimes you don't even get a conviction. And that's heartbreaking. And that's, you know, that's really heartbreaking to hear that. But they've just explained to me that it isn't unduly lenient and that is the only grounds for an appeal. So, I mean, people are outraged. People are demanding an appeal, are demanding justice. And I say to those people that it is out of the hands of the DPP. It is the law that needs to change for future victims to receive the justice that they so deserve.
Just finally, Natasha, like, it's, you know, I suppose the last few days must have been a huge whirlwind for you and you know, the pressure of all of this and people are obviously, you know, very supportive of you and what you've gone through, and particularly the fact that you've spoken out so publicly and so eloquently. Has it taken a toll on you at all, or how are you dealing with all of this personally?
It's a whirlwind. Yeah, I never expected to be in this position. But I'd rather be in this position now advocating for what's right than ever know that someone has to be in my position again. And I mean, that's where the energy comes from, knowing that what I do might prevent somebody else from having to feel like this and suffer like I am.
Are you encouraging people to attend the Dáil for the protest at 6 o'clock?
Absolutely. It doesn't make sense. It really doesn't make sense. And we all deserve better. The men of Ireland deserve better. The women of Ireland deserve better. The people of Ireland deserve better. Anybody that thinks that it's wrong, join me. Yeah, it's everyone that's affected.
The protest has taken place Tuesday outside Dáil Éireann at 6, on Wednesday at 1 in Limerick, and also at 6 p.m. on Thursday at the courthouse in Cork. Natasha O'Brien, thanks a million for joining us here on Lunchtime Live.
Thank you so much, Andrea. Thank you.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.